Welcome to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Big Money Podcast. It's Tuesday, June 28th, and we're here to talk with Democracy Campaign Executive Director Mike McCabe about some of the details and ramifications of a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that struck down part of Arizona's campaign finance law. Arizona's public financing law for state elections has been on the books since it was approved by voters there in 1998. So let's find out a little bit more about the law and how the U.S. Supreme Court decision on Monday affected it. First, Mike, what did Arizona's public financing law do, and what did the U.S. Supreme Court ruling do to change it?
Well, Arizona's public financing law enabled candidates to run for state office there without relying on private special interest money. It created a public financing system for their state elections. One feature of that system was not only did the candidates get basic grants to help run their campaigns, but if they faced high spending opposition, they also were eligible for what were called trigger funds. And so if an outside interest group came in or a wealthy privately financed opponent came forward and was dumping a bunch of money into a race, the publicly financed candidate would get some extra public funds to be able to counter any attacks and to be able to compete. And that's what the U.S. Supreme Court struck down was this trigger funds provision. But I think it's important also to look at what the Arizona law did not do. It did not ban any speech. It did not prevent any group from spending whatever it wanted on campaign advertising. It really created more speech because it gave less well-to-do candidates some extra funds to compete with wealthy interests and outside interest groups that were spending big money in those elections. So it didn't stop anybody from spending. It didn't ban any kind of political speech. It created more speech. But by the absolutely bizarre logic of the five members in the majority in the U.S. Supreme Court, creating more speech was ruled an infringement on free speech. That's what the court effectively said, is that this trigger funds provision that enabled less well-off candidates to remain relevant and to do some talking in the elections, that violated the free speech rights of the wealthy interests that were doing almost all the talking. And that's what the court effectively did. It basically said, hey, money is speech. Money can talk all at once. They ruled in the Citizens United case that you can't put any limit on outside spending by corporations and other interest groups. So those groups can spend to their heart's content. But any public effort now to try to counter that and give candidates who have less financial means the ability to do some talking, that's unconstitutional too. So basically what they said in this ruling is that money should do all the talking.
Does this ruling have any effect on public financing or campaign finance reform efforts in Wisconsin?
Not directly. This was a challenge to a state law in Arizona. And Wisconsin does have the Impartial Justice Act, which is a public financing program for state Supreme Court elections. It's been defunded by the governor and legislature, so it's under attack legislatively. But it also is being challenged in court, and it does have a trigger funds provision. It does provide candidates with extra funds if they come under outside attack. But I don't think this Arizona ruling is directly applicable because Wisconsin's law, unlike Arizona's, applies only to judicial elections, state Supreme Court races. And in a North Carolina case that was taken all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, North Carolina's public financing system was challenged. It has a trigger funds provision. It provides extra money to candidates who come under outside attack. And yet the U.S. Supreme Court let a lower court ruling upholding that law stand. It didn't take the North Carolina case. It let the North Carolina case ruling stand. And they did it because the court has very consistently been drawing a distinction between judicial elections and all other elections. The court has ruled on a number of occasions now that judicial elections are different and that the judiciary is deserving of an extra measure of support. So I think for that reason, Wisconsin's law really is different. And it is in the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals right now. A lower district court upheld Wisconsin's law. It has been appealed to the appeals court. And we should get a ruling at some point in the not-too-distant future. And I think the Court of Appeals may well uphold it. And the U.S. Supreme Court, if it follows what it did in North Carolina, may let that ruling stand. So I think Wisconsin's law is different and is not necessarily invalidated because of what the court just did in this Arizona law.
This seems to be another in a string of court decisions that could be viewed as at least disheartening by campaign finance reformers, no matter where you are, because they all seem to favor wealthy candidates or outside special interest groups. When it comes to this ruling, as well as the others, how do campaign finance reformers here and elsewhere proceed?
Well, you know, this ruling was a step backward, no question about it. It doesn't mean the end of Wisconsin's Impartial Justice Act necessarily. It doesn't doom campaign finance reform efforts in general, but it clearly was a step backward. I mean, the court has basically ruled that money talks, that money can talk as much as it wants, and that now they're basically saying money should do all the talking, that there can't even be a public effort to counter that outside private special interest spending. So it is a disheartening ruling. But the silver lining is that the court did rule narrowly here. It ruled that trigger funds are unconstitutional, but it took pains to point out that public financing in general remains constitutionally valid. And the court very clearly spelled out that public financing is still constitutional. They didn't strike down the concept in general, just this one dimension of public financing, these so-called trigger funds. So we can still pursue public financing. I think what it means is that we've got to come forward with new ways of thinking about public financing, and that's actually what we've already been trying to do with the Democracy Campaign. We put forward a plan called Ending Welfare that doesn't include trigger funds. We kind of saw this ruling coming, so we wanted to put forward some ideas about how to promote small dollar donations and kind of create a small dollar democracy, create incentives for people to give small amounts of money, give candidates an incentive to seek small donations, provide public financing while avoiding the use of these trigger funds that have come under legal attack. And so I think what it means for reformers is that we've got to move more in the direction of these kinds of public financing plans like Ending Welfare that we've put forward, and that'll really have to be the future of public financing. The court has said you can do public financing, you just can't do these trigger funds. And so I think it actually makes a plan like Ending Welfare all the more important and all the more relevant. And you know, I think it means that reformers have to go to the drawing board and come up with something that can pass constitutional muster. The door is open to doing that. We already have a proposal that we've put out there. Now it's up to public officials to act on these kinds of plans.
Thanks for your comments, Mike. For more information about the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on Arizona's public financing law, please check out the commentary about it on the Democracy Campaign website. Thanks for listening.